Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Welcome to the Hawk Talk Podcast, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Mike Side with a pair of Stanley Cup champions, Patrick Sharp, Adam Burke. I am Pat Boyle. How you doing, boys?
Doing good. How about you?
I'm doing great. You know what? It's been fun to be around this team in recent weeks. Even some of the times when they weren't winning, they've been putting a brand of hockey on the ice that has been fun to watch. Now things are starting really to come together. They win their sixth straight, 4-3 in overtime against Vancouver on Thursday night. And what I thought was unthinkable maybe like a week ago, I'm beginning to change my mind. They're 2 points out of the final wild card spot, and it doesn't look like this daunting task.
Isn't that unbelievable? They're 2 points out of a playoff spot. And if they played 50-something games to this point. Think of all the opportunities, whether it's an overtime mistake, whether it's a late goal taking points away. Like, they could be comfortably sitting in a playoff spot, and that is insane to think about considering all that this group has gone through. It's been an exciting year for me to watch it. I don't really have anything to compare it to. It's my first year watching the guys, but gone are the days of guaranteed first in the Central, first in the West, loading up for the playoffs, trying to take a run at the Cup. Now it's an exciting brand of hockey where we get to see what management and Stan and Jeremy are going to put together with the group. It's fun to watch some of the development of these younger players. It hasn't always been fun to watch. There was a stretch there where I was feeling the pain for these guys from the outside, not even being on the ice with them. But, boy, have they turned things around, and there's a lot of people you can point to for that turnaround, bro.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch, and if they had gambling odds right now on the Blackhawks making the playoffs or not, it would probably be in favor if you took the Hawks. I would take that bet all day long. If I got some better than even money on the Blackhawks making the playoffs, I think that would be a smart bet if you were a gambling degenerate, which I'm not. But
sounds like you're experienced.
I know a lot about it.
I promise you I'm not, but there should be some kind of gambling here at the United Center. I think that would be great. But
Someday.
But I really do think that this is – I don't think you can call yourself crazy if you were to say the Blackhawks – are going to make the playoffs this year. I think it's a very legitimate chance the way they're playing, with the momentum they have, with the confidence they have. And, you know, a month ago, you didn't see those smiles. Mm-hmm. And Sharp, you and I get to see these guys here and there, and they have a different demeanor about them, right? They don't feel like they're walking around with this heavy weight on their shoulders because, listen, these guys live here. They're proud. They love it here. They love playing for the Blackhawks. When it's not going well, they take it personally. And right now, you can tell they're proud again. They feel good. And the way they're playing, rattling off, you know, today, even in the game Thursday night against Vancouver, scoring two quick goals in the power play like that, that's Blackhawks hockey. That's stuff we're used to seeing, and now they're bringing it back again.
More on that power play coming up in just a second. The Athletic had a one-on-one with John McDonough on Thursday, and the gist of that conversation is McDonough endorsed Stan Bowman as general manager, dismissed any tanking talks about the team, said they want to compete for a playoff spot, let the chips fall wherever they may, and even if that means losing out on a high draft pick and missing out on the playoffs. So we ran that poll question on the postgame show. Has this six-game win streak changed your opinion of this team? And with the trade deadline 2 weeks from Monday, February 25th, man, what I thought for sure was a selling team, a team that was going to try to move a couple parts and think big picture here, I think that that's going to change as well, too. I think they could be adding. Do you see the same?
Yeah. I don't want to try to pretend and like I'm a general manager here on what I would do, but I've been with Stan for a long time. He was here in 2005 when I joined the Hawks. I know him well. He's always been very honest with me. He's honest with his players that he deals with. He's got a good reputation for being an honest GM. Whether they're buyers or sellers, Stan's going to do whatever he can do to improve the team at the trade deadline. That's a matter of fact. He's in the winning business, right?
Yeah.
Our old coach Q used to say that all the time. We're in the winning business. And Stan's not going to trade anybody away that he doesn't want to trade away. He's trying to build a team here. And I think that we owe him that, because if you go back to the first Cup team, 2010, we had 2 years there in 2011 and 12 where we had to manage the salary cap. We really got hit hard with it, right? That's when I said bye to my roommate, Adam Burrish. He had to go play in Dallas for a couple years. We lost a lot of good players that year. We had a rough team for 2 years. Stan and his staff built that winner. We won in 13. We could have won in 14. We won again in 15. Yep. So he can do it again. I believe he can, and I think he deserves that right. John McDonough was how you started this question and this topic, and he's been unwavering in his support for Stan, even going back to November and all through the bad press that they were getting in this city. So for me, it's a breath of fresh air to see the Hawks on the winning side of hockey, and it's a lot of excitement in the next couple months calling these games for us.
Yeah, and there's been some rumors about them being selling, and they addressed those rumors. They spoke up about those rumors and said they're not true. They're not going to be sellers. They're not punting on the season, which sends a message to your players, too. We respect and we admire and we're proud and we're excited about what you guys are doing on the ice. And we said it in the postgame show, PB, is that I think as management, if you're Stan, ultimately you want your team to dictate, to tell you, here's what we want, or here's what we would like to see, and we're going to show you why. And like you said, a month ago, 2 months ago, or 3 weeks ago, they're probably sellers, and Stan's probably have a little bit of a plan how to make this team really good next year. Where now it's like, hey, we're still going to try and get really good next year, but we're also going to try and get into the playoffs this year and give our fans and our players a chance to swing at another Stanley Cup. And are they going to win the Cup this year? Who knows? Would you say they're a favorite? No, absolutely not.
That would be a tougher bet in the gambling world.
That would be a tougher bet. If I was going to have a bet, I probably wouldn't lay that one right now. But I will say, these guys want to make the playoffs, and if you make the playoffs, who knows what can happen. We've seen ace seeds. Think back to the L.A. Kings. When was it? The year after we won in 10. Mm-hmm. Was it 11? The Kings win the Cup. They were garbage up until just January-ish. They went on a huge run the second half of the year. They win the last game of the season, I believe. Right.
And they were down, I think, 0-3 in a playoff series.
Yep.
To San Jose.
San Jose, yeah.
And they come back and they win the Stanley Cup that year. So, hey, you get in, who knows what can happen.
And are you going to bet against our guys if we get in? Yeah. You know, the guys with that playoff pedigree. Well, so it'll be fun to watch.
And at that point, they'll be playing playoff brand hockey for almost 2 months, mm-hmm. Which, you know, in years past, it's you've built that comfortable lead and then you've tried to find that rhythm 2 weeks ahead of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And then, you know, even using playoff series to kind of get into form. This team, if it makes it will have been playing it for a long stretch of time. Now, the one thing that has been carrying this team has been the power play. And if you look back last year at the last four teams standing, they all had top 10 power plays. Okay, the power play is so critical in this NHL. The way they call penalties, how difficult it is to score 5-on-5. We had that graphic on pre- and post-game showing from the start of the season to December 17th, ranked 31st, scoring on 11% of their power plays. From December 18th till current, they are number one in the NHL.
Yeah.
So those two have been averaged to about, they're now 10th in the league, and scoring on 39% of their power plays. I mean, that is an astronomical flip. And it's been, you know, like you brought it up, Patrick, it's been coaching, it's been execution. Just, did you ever think you could see a unit make that much of a change in one season?
No, not a chance. 39% for a stretch of games that we've seen with the Blackhawks is crazy numbers on the power play. But I think, first of all, you got to give credit to the coaching staff for changing up a few things. One thing I do like is they've kept the same five-man unit together for a long stretch of games. Confidence is a huge part of professional sports, and you can see those guys hop the boards on the power play now. They want to go out there. They want to touch the puck. They want to make it happen, and I don't think we could say that a couple weeks ago. So it's no secret that special teams makes the difference to get into the playoffs. It makes a difference once you're in there. And, I mean, these guys aren't going anywhere. That five-man unit's going to be around here working it. So who's to say this can't continue and be great for years?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. And you think back to the Joel era. He was a genius at it, of changing up lines and getting the best out of guys. And when guys are playing really well, they get more ice time and they get double shifted. So lines are always changing. As players, it's hard sometimes, but it always seemed to work when Joel did it. Where now you have Jeremy, where he gives this team just straight consistency. He doesn't change up lines a lot. He has not changed that power play unit, and it's working. And I think for some weird reason, I think it's really worked for this team because they were struggling for the first 40 games of this season. And all of a sudden, this voice comes in here he's confident. He hasn't wavered one second since day one he got here. They lose 8 games in a row. His message was the same. He addressed the media the same way. When you speak to him walking through a hallway, it's just high. It's focused. It's calm. His demeanor hasn't changed. And maybe that was the perfect voice at the perfect time for this team, just some consistency, not a lot of chaos. There was enough chaos going on around here towards the end of last year for the first half of this season. This guy's calm. He's cool. He gives him consistency. And the power play's taken out. I think in hockey, the only closest thing you can explain it to is like in football, that you can't get to the Super Bowl with a bad quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? You have to have always one of the top. Tom Brady gets the Super Bowl every year because he's the best quarterback in the NFL. If you got a bad quarterback, you don't make it. In the NHL, you don't get to the conference finals with a bad power play. So if you've got a great one, you give yourself a really good chance.
Or you have to have and you guys have had it, an off-the-charts PK. So one thing I've learned from working with you, Burr, is you tell me that addition thing where you add the PK percentage and the power play percentage, and if it's around 100%, you're
100%.
In good shape. Here's the deal. The Hawks' power play is at around 21%, just slightly north of it. That PK is still at 73, so that's 94. So
that's why they're out of the playoffs.
That's why they're out of the playoffs. And so the PK is you know, again, they're 31st right now. They had 4 big kills on Thursday night against Van at crucial times in this game, changing momentum. They didn't get the last one. I think they had an empty net. Mm-hmm. They had an extra skater as well. So it was a two-man advantage there. But the PK, if there was one area in special teams that they really kind of need to boost, and again, they don't need to get some crazy result like they've seen on the power play, but like get it a little more on a consistent basis, then we could really, you know, because we can't expect this power play to continue to connect them.
Right.
40% of their opportunities.
No, but you're right. And if that penalty kill, even tonight, right, they get that last kill, they win the game, that penalty kill percentage goes up a little bit. If that penalty kill can go up 7-8%, I think, they're going to make the playoffs, I think. I think that your stat is perfect there, PB, where you get that 6-8% better on the kill. Now those combined percentages go over 100. That's going to be the difference. If this team gets into the playoffs or not, I really think that is, can the power play stay at the numbers they're doing, and can that penalty kill get a little better, get those timely kills, then they're going to give themselves an awesome chance.
And to me, with the penalty kill, you're going to give up some goals. Yeah. I mean, there's some good shooters in this league. Everyone's playing the same 1-3-1 umbrella flank shot, whatever you want to call the power play. Everyone's doing it. There's options to be had out there, and I think that's why the Hawks on the power play are seeing such success. They've learned the options. They know their routes. They're starting to cash in. Well, what I want out of my PK is just to show up in a big moment.
Yep.
You know, when the game's on the line, I want to see a desperation block shot. I want to see big saves from a goaltender. I want to see a block from a forward or a good clear. That's to me what I want to see on the bench when I see my penalty killers out there.
Up next on the Hawks Talk podcast, does Patrick Kane have a legitimate shot at winning the MVP? And could there be a secret boost to this team that we haven't been talking about that could be returning soon? That's next on the Hawks Talk podcast.
Get all of your Blackhawks news in the palm of your hand with the My Teams app by NBC Sports. The best place to stream the games, watch highlights, read articles, and more. Download the My Teams app today.
Back on the Hawks Talk podcast with Patrick Sharp and Adam Bursch. I'm Pat Boyle. All right, we've been talking about, you know, 88's been the thing that's kind of carried us to this point where, you know, even during the tough times, he was still putting on a show, and you were able to stomach and get through a 2.5-hour game. Well, now, you know, he is among the league leaders. He and Connor McDavid are just behind Nikita Kucherov for the points lead. If this team can climb into a playoff spot, or I'll say even be right on the outside looking in, I think he's got to get some votes, don't you think?
Big time. Yes, absolutely. The only thing that hurts him is last season was a very similar situation. New Jersey, Taylor Hall wins the Hart Trophy, had an incredible individual performance to basically put that team into a playoff spot. You could have given the MVP to Connor McDavid that year because he was that good. Yeah. Edmonton fails to make the playoffs, and they go in a different direction. So I think playoffs is key if we're going to see any type of league awards handed out to the Blackhawks. But how hard is it to play when you're coming off your worst season as a team last year, right, that Patrick Kane's ever seen? And now you start even worse the next year. Yeah. There's a lot going on around the team. And he elevates his game to another level. That's leadership to me. That's what that is. That's not just a good player cashing in on some easy games and some backup goalies. That's leadership, man. That's guy that cares about performing, that guy that doesn't want to lose. He wants to carry this team on his back. And it's not just Kaner. Yeah, I know that's who we're talking about right now. But there's other guys that stepped up in that stretch and kind of willed this team to win. So to answer the question, PB, if they make the playoffs, 100%, Patrick Kane is the MVP. I know there's a lot of hockey to be played and there's lots to get sorted out, but right now, he's been incredible, the best I've ever seen from him.
And I think if you talk to other people around the league, or in the last, I would say, 10 days to 2 weeks, there's more people starting to talk about it now. I remember we did a show, PB, about 3 weeks ago, and I was running my mouth as usual and saying, Patrick Kane is the MVP of this league. I think if he doesn't win it, it's a joke, it's a crime. This, what he is doing on this team, Kucherov, he's got four all-stars that he plays with. His power play is all-stars. They're all superstar players. They've got the best defenseman, the league quarterback in their power play. You've got Steven Stamkos on one side. It's sick, their power play. Patrick Kane has done it with different line mates. He's not doing it with an all-star-laden team. He's doing it with hard work, with guys like Jonathan Toews that are working. You got a young defenseman making $1.2 million up on the blue line quarterback in your power play compared to what Kucherov has on his. Not to discredit Gustafson, because he's been sick also, what he's done this year. But I still believe it. I think if he continues what he's doing right now and they make the playoffs, there's no question. And I think if you ask players in the league, they would tell you too, this guy, what he's done this year is MVP caliber stuff.
And two other guys that you said, you know, there's been some help along the way. Jonathan Toews and Alex DeBrincat have been those two guys. Early on in the season when Joel was still coaching and they were winning those games, those tight games, it was those three guys carrying him. And when you look right now, Toews is on a career pace in goals. He's got 24. DeBrincat had two more on Thursday night. He's up to 28. He's going to get to 30 in his second season in the NHL. You know, I'll just say this about Jonathan Toews. He's a very prideful guy, and I think last year was tough on him. Seeing him where he was ranked in the standings and points, you know, he's a team guy. He's not a me guy, but then you got goofballs walking in there like me or other people talking about it, or you know, the talking heads in Canada or whatever. You hear it. You know what I mean? You don't get the nod to go to the All-Star game. All these things, I thought what he did this offseason, reinvented himself. He's always looking to improve, but I thought he did a lot of work on ice as well, and it's really paid off. His balance, it's back. You know, like last year, it was tough. He's getting knocked off the puck. This year, he looks like a different guy.
What a cruel world professional sports can be sometimes. I mean, God forbid Jonathan has somewhat of a down year last year. I mean, he still scored 20 goals. He scored 20 every year been in the league. And what he's accomplished in his career, if he finished today, if he decided, you know what, I'm good. I'm not going to play hockey anymore. We'd be talking about him as potentially going to the Hall of Fame. Probably would be a Hall of Famer with what he's already done to this point. So to find that motivation late in his career, I mean, he's got tons of years left. But I think you're right, Patty. I think he got sick and tired of people counting him out, saying he's on the decline, saying his career's ending. He's on the downside of his career. He's playing arguably the best hockey that we've seen out of him. He looks quicker. He looks faster. He's playing a different brand of hockey. You know, back when I first saw Jonathan, it was, let's throw the puck in the corner, get it behind the net, because you know Johnny's going to outmuscle that one or two defensemen. He's going to get somebody on his back hip. He's going to battle. He's going to grind it out. And maybe that took a toll on him. I don't know, because he did it for about 10 years. Now the game's changed. He's gotten lighter. He's gotten quicker. He's playing more of an east-west game. He's shooting the puck a lot harder than he's ever shot it.
How about the game winner? I mean, that's a Toews that you didn't often see
right.
or don't always see.
Yeah, willing to put it on his backhand, carry it in the offensive zone for a lot of time at the end of his shift, and then try that last move when he gets the net and finish it with a nice shot. It was an incredible individual goal. So, yeah, Johnny's been great, and it's almost embarrassing that we have to pump Johnny's tires because he's been great since the day he entered the league. He does so many things to help this team on and off the ice. It's great to see that everybody's given him the recognition that he deserves.
And just to go back to the points part about saying, you know, me, a team guy and a me guy, just so like in professional sports, everybody wants to score, and the great players, and I can tell you as a teammate, I want them to be selfish. I want them to get points every night. When I played with Sharp, he wanted to score every night in a very selfish way, and I wanted him in a selfish way to score too because I knew I wasn't capable of scoring two or three goals a night. And if we lost a bunch of games in a row, I'm probably getting sent down, I'm getting bought out, I'm getting traded. So the superstar players, they are selfish, and they want to score every night. And as teammates of them, you want them to produce and score. You don't think everybody on the ice wanted Kane or Taves to score the game winner tonight. They don't care who scores. I want the superstars to score because then I look good too. So these guys all want stats. Patrick Kane wants to lead the league in scoring in a very selfish way this year. And him having that attitude helps this team. It helps the organization. It's exciting for fans. And all your top six guys, if they don't have that in them, I don't want you on my team. I don't want you in my top six. I want my top six selfish and hungry and want to score 5 points a night. And when they get confidence, like Patrick Kane has, like Jonathan Taves has right now, Saad has it right now, DeBrincat has it right now, Strome has it right now, they're all putting up massive points, and it helps everyone.
Okay, so a lot of things have changed during this win streak. We all would agree, and I think a lot of people out there, that they do have a legitimate shot at making the playoffs. It may have changed what Stan's game plan is for the trade deadline, and it may have changed the return of Corey Crawford. Now, you know, again, we got to read the tea leaves a little bit. He's been on the ice. He's been taking shots from coaches before practice. You know, if you go back to, you know, his last comeback, this was kind of the pattern. And then it was, you know, a couple of weeks before he was back in there. With this team trending towards the playoffs, you're probably not going to hold 50 out. If he's ready to go, he's going to get back in there. So that could be even yet another boost. You talk about things. That's
your trade deadline acquisition right there.
That's a great point. I didn't even think about
that. You don't even have to go outside and acquire something. You just got to hope that old Crowbird continues to feel good and he can work himself back in. I mean, we're speculating here on an injury. Second year in a row, he's trying to get back in the lineup. So that's what's most important. But wouldn't it be something to see Crow come back in meaningful games? Because if we remember, Crow was pretty good this year.
Yes. Yeah.
And I sat on this broadcast with you guys a couple times. He'd given up 4 or 5 goals in the game. And we're sitting here saying, wow, was Crow unbelievable tonight or what? So the way the team's playing defensively now, still giving up 40 shots a game, but that's not terrible. It's the quality of chances have gone down against the Blackhawks. So to see Crow come back to play in this version of Blackhawks team would be pretty exciting to me.
Well, think back to last year, even before he got hurt. We're sitting up here. You were still playing, Sharpie, but we're sitting up here, you know, in November talking about Corey Crawford winning the Vezina, right? I mean, he was dominant. I mean, he was by far the best goalie last year. If he plays the full season last year, there's a good chance his name, they missed the playoffs, but his name is up for the Vezina. If he doesn't come out, you guys maybe do make the playoffs. He was that dominant. So now all of a sudden, here's the other cool thing, is you don't have to rush him, right? Because these goaltenders right now, Ward and Delia, have been great. They've been just fine in there. And so you can take your time with Corey. You don't have to get him back at 90%. You can now get him back at 110% when he's confident and feeling good. What a boost for this team that could be.
Great stuff, boys. It's going to be a fun ride here down the stretch. We got meaningful hockey games and an entertaining team to watch.
Heck yeah.
Can't wait. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's going to do it for the Hawks Talk podcast. For Adam Bursch, for Patrick Sharp, I'm Pat Boyle. Thanks for listening. As always, it's brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. We'll catch you next time on the Hawks Talk podcast.